when I stand up here, I don't know why, but it's like, oh, I'm really nervous now. And I don't understand why, because I stand up here all the time and tell you really weird stories and say all kinds of wacky stuff. Never fazes me a bit. When it comes to life, but it gives me a little bit of anxiety. But I'm sure in about 5 minutes I'll tell some wacky story and then it'll be fine. We'll see. I want to turn your attention to Mark chapter 4. And we sang a song inspired by this event. Verse 36, Mark chapter 4, verse 36 says, "Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?' And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Hush, be still.' And the wind died down, and it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They became very much afraid and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey?'" It's pretty wild story when you think about it. These guys are in a pretty, I don't know, I would call it scary situation. This is just an artist's rendering of what it would look like. You know, nobody had an icon or a Canon back then to snap a photo. But, I mean, I don't know if that was the kind of boat that they had. I imagine it may have been similar. I mean, certainly was no ironclad battleship. In some wooden boat in the middle of the sea, and it's quite scary. And man, that's a hard situation to be in. But I wonder, have we been in situations like that before? Maybe not in a boat. Well, maybe sometimes in a boat, I don't know. But maybe not in a boat, maybe in some other kind of situation in your life where you are feeling just like, man, this place is going down. I'm going down. The waves are crashing over you. The sky is dark. You're like, man, I got no hope whatsoever. And you still look at the Bible, and when you read it, the Bible tells us, what should we do with these types of circumstances? Be happy. Rejoice for the affliction that you endure, all the tough situations that you go through. That's a hard thing to do, I think. To look at difficult times and difficult circumstances and to try to be happy about them. So I want to look today at a couple things. When the tempest... We looked at what we read about, kind of how the apostles acted to when the tempest rages. The question I should consider is, how does it affect you when the tempest rages? How should it affect us? What should it be? And so today I want to talk about three things that happen to us when we're caught in the storm of life, whatever storm there is. And let's be honest, each one of us has a storm that we're fighting through. We're all in the dinghy in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. There's something going on around us that's making us stress, that's giving us anxiety, it's making us wonder, are we going to see the light of day again? Not literally. But is this ever going to stop? And that's what I want to talk about today. What are three things that happen when we're caught in the storm? Things that maybe we should be thoughtful of. So I want to use a personal story. And it's personal because I lived it, but I think most of us also lived it. I'll remind you of a date in history that I will not forget. October 29, 2012. It was the date that Hurricane Sandy, Superstorm Sandy, or whatever other cataclysmic word you want to use that the Weather Channel comes up with, these weather events, whether it's bombogenesis or whatever. But in this case, we got Superstorm Hurricane Sandy makes landfall in Atlantic City on October 29, 2012. For those that don't know, I work for the power company. So you can imagine what the next several weeks of mine were like. With 99.8% of all of our customers with no power. I was fortunately one of the few that actually had power, so that was good. People were over my house all the time. neither here nor there. But what happened during that storm? Well, it was a lot of damage. And you know what's funny about being a power company? It seems like nobody ever remembers how good their power was when it was blue skies, you know? It's like, you know, for 99.99% of the year, you got power. Hurricane comes in, bang. Like, everybody's upset. Well, you know what's funny, right? It's actually true that when you're in these storms, as this storm came in, it showed us just how strong our system was. Apparently not very strong. But the same thing is true for us also. You know, when you want to define the resilience of a system or the reliability of a system, you don't look to it when it's like door. When everything is going smooth. When everything is just normal. Because if that were the case, I mean, you could have these power lines out there on fence posts and everyone would be just great. But it's not that way. How do we define, how do we know how, what our character really is? It's by those tempests. It's by those storms. It's by those difficulties that we face that we get a little view of who we really are. Just like our system out there, so we are with ourselves. I want you to think about Peter just before Jesus' crucifixion, right? I think we know this event pretty well, but I think it's worth just reviewing, right? Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, remember Jesus said in verse 31, "People will all fall away because of me this night. For it's written, I will strike down the shepherd and the sheep of this flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." But Peter said to him, "Even though all may fall away, because of you, I will never fall away." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I say to you this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." All the disciples said the same thing. You know, I really don't think, and maybe you disagree with me, you know, one of us could be wrong. I don't think that Peter was lying at that moment. I don't think that he thought to himself, just say this real quick. And I don't believe this at all, but I'm going to deny Jesus. But I'll say I won't deny. I really believe that he thought, "I will not leave you, Jesus." But then what happens? Things start to happen, right? Things start to go down. Jesus is taken away, out by the fire. People are coming up. "You were with this guy, right? You were with this guy?" Peter starts cursing. "No, I was not with this guy." And then, of course, you know, after three times, the rooster crows, and Jesus looks at him, and Peter realizes what he's done. And I think Peter also realized who he was. It kind of helps him, it helped him to see exactly where he was in his spiritual growth. That he had a little way to go. You think about Jesus' teaching also in Matthew chapter 7. He kind of alludes to this idea. Verse 24, it says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, acts on them, may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." What is the point here of this message? What is Jesus saying? Who's the one that has the good house on the rock, and who's the one that has the bad house on the sand? Well, the one who follows Jesus' teaching is the one that's got the house on the rock. But you know what's funny about this situation? You don't know. I mean, they build it on a foundation. Who can see their foundation? Can you see the foundation? I can't see my foundation. Now, I know my house is built on a mountain because it's all around it. But once the house is built, you don't see what's under that foundation. How you know salvation? When the storm comes, when the troubles arise, when all the storm is coming and the winds are blowing, Hurricane Sandy is at your doorstep, then you know what that house is built on. And so it is with our lives also. We may think we're living our lives all great and wonderful. We may think we're doing things the right way. We may look like we're doing things the right way. But guess what? When the storm comes, when the troubles come, it's going to be revealed to everybody and to you. Where is your foundation? What is your foundation? Is your foundation truly on Jesus, on His teachings, on His Word, on the truth? Or is it on something else? Will you be the wise man or will you be the foolish man? Will you bear the fruits of the Spirit? In our marriage class, we've been talking about that in Galatians chapter 5. How we ought to bear these fruits of the Spirit. They ought to be evident in our lives. And, you know, when these difficulties in our marriage, what does our life look like? Are we going to be showing love, joy, and peace when we're thinking about the bills that are mounting? Or we're thinking about the other uncertainties or the illnesses or the kids and the discussions over the kids and the disagreements over that. Are we going to have the patience and the kindness to stand up when our mates slip, when they say something or do something that hurts us? Are we going to be able to withstand that? Are we going to be able to have the goodness and the gentleness when finances we have to discuss, or the worst subject, in-laws? Are we going to have that? Because these things are going to hit us. They're going to batter us. And when we are in situations, that's when we're going to see, do we really have these talents, not talents, do we really have these attributes that we're supposed to have? What will the testing of your faith reveal? 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." What will the testing of your faith reveal? Will it reveal somebody who built their house on a rock? Or will it reveal somebody who just put on a show and built a house on the sand and is just putting on airs for everyone else to look at? That's what the trials are going to do for you. And so here's my challenge for you in this first look. I want you to look at yourself, because think about this. I think we can all say, I've got a challenge. Anybody here not have a challenge? I want to know how you're living so you don't have challenges. I want to know how that works out. We've all got something that's in our lives that's a challenge. And as you're going through that challenge, I want you to think about, take a step back, examine yourself. How are you responding to that challenge? What is being revealed by the challenge that's in your life? Are you strong in some areas? Great. That's awesome. Are there other areas that you're weak, that you need to be built up? Think about these. Because like I said, these challenges help us to see who we really are. Going back to my least favorite event of my life, anyhow, Hurricane Sandy. You know, after the storm was over, this is going to sound very strange to you. So during the storm, right, we lose all this junk, right? I mean, thousands of poles and all kind of equipment. And just a mess. Here's an interesting little tidbit for you. After the storm was over, the strength of the system, the reliability of the system, was actually a lot better. You know, we have all these metrics that we look at, how reliable is the system, we've calculated in all these different ways, as nerdy engineers do. And we saw, you know, okay, reliability is here. We have Hurricane Sandy. Oh, wow, the reliability got a lot better. Well, how did that happen? Is that just out of nowhere? That can't be just some luck, right? Well, go to the trial happens. All those weak parts get cut out. They get removed. The bad parts that are out there, they're challenged, they're destroyed. And then you build them back in with new stuff, things that are going to be better. So we figured out some ways. It was not just equipment, but we figured out ways to be more organized. We figured out ways to build stuff faster, to restore people better, communicate better, all these different things. Sounds all great. But the whole point is that when we face that adversity, it makes us stronger. It builds us up. I want you to think about Peter again in Acts chapter 4 and Acts chapter 5. We won't read it all. We'll read a little bit of it. Just a little while ago that Peter was saying, Jesus, I'll die with you. Jesus, I won't deny you. And then just a little while later, he denies Jesus. And he was denied into just some servant girl, some random people that had no power. These are just nobodies. Acts chapter 4 and 5, we see Peter in a much different situation. Standing before the council. Verse 19. I want you to notice what he says in this circumstance. Peter and John answered and said to them, the council, whether it's right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. Chapter 5. They're in front of the council again. Verse 29. Statement we all probably heard. Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. And drop down a little bit, verse 40. They took his advice, talking about Gamaliel, and after calling the apostles in, they flogged them and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then released them. So they went on their way from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they had been considered worthy to suffer shame for his name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. If he hadn't gone through the adversity that he had gone through before, what would have happened in this situation? Obviously, we will never know. We could not know what would happen to Peter if he was confronted with this hard situation after dealing with the denial and the crucifixion of Christ. We really don't know. But I would say that it helped him. I would say that going through the challenge helped him to say, you know what? Jesus did this. I can do this too. I look at somebody like David too. You know, think about David. You go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's fighting against Goliath. And you remember what he says when he's talking to Goliath? You know what, Goliath? I fought against a lion. Killed it. I fought against a bear, and I've killed it. And just like God helped me kill the lion and the bear, I can take you down also. And I think that is pretty strong. And you think about that. Michael just did a lesson on this a couple weeks ago from Psalm 3. David went through a lot of difficulties, a lot of trials, a lot of hurt. And when you look at Psalm 3, I just want to remind you of the one of the last verses there. In verse 5, you may remember, I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. You have smitten all my enemies on the cheek. You have shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be upon your people. You think David would have that kind of strength if he didn't face the lion, if he didn't face the bear, if he didn't face Goliath? If he didn't have to face Saul and all the challenges that he had to face and all the other enemies of Israel, do you think that he would be able to write that in the face of his own son trying to propose? I don't think so. We need to learn to rely on God just as David did. We need to learn to rely on God just as Peter did. And we need to remember God's lessons for us. In James chapter 1, we read this morning in our Bible class. In verse 2, it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you can encounter various trials, knowing that the test of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect results, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That's what it gets us to. It builds us up. It strengthens us. How do we get that, though? We need to remember God's word. Remember verse 23 now. If anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he's looked at it himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You want wisdom? You want to know how to defeat these challenges? You want to know how to get stronger? You want to know how to build your house such that when the storms come, it won't fall down? Jesus tells us how to do it. Build it on his teachings. Build it on his wisdom. And if you need wisdom, what did James say to do? Just ask for it. God will give it to us. So a challenge for you again. When you're in these difficult situations, when you're challenged with the storm, when you're challenged with this life and the things that can happen that make us so angry, anxious, and all those things. Think about, as I'm going through this trial, you know, in the first we talked about, identify where are you strong. Identify where you're weak. And now what I want you to think about is, how can we get better? What can I do to shore up those weaknesses? Where are my weaknesses? Is it in patience? Is it in joy? Is it in love? Is it in kindness? Is it in self-control or faithfulness? Where is that weakness? Take a step back and look at it. And think about what we can do to prepare ourselves for the next storm. Look at this as an opportunity to get stronger. So that when the next thing comes, you'll be ready for it. That'll be the second thing. Make us stronger. It makes us stronger and helps us to shore up those problems that we have in our life. And the last thing that I want to remind us of. It's a picture of the boardwalk, right? As it is now. 7 years? Almost 7 years. 6.5 years later. Whatever it is. I'll tell you something. When I was in the middle of that storm, we worked, I think it was for 4 weeks straight, 16 hours a day. Go to work, wake up, take a shower, go to work. You sit in an office, 16 hours, printing maps and doing all kinds of weird stuff. It's 11 o'clock, drag yourself home, go to bed. 6 o'clock the next day, you get up, do it all over again. For, I don't know, it felt like a long, long time. 30 plus days. And that was light for me. It's less, but there's other people that are working even longer than that, probably. All the line people that are physically doing the work. How much? I was looking forward before. I was waiting for that. That'll be great, you know. I only have to work 40 hours. Forget vacation. Just a normal week. And I think it was the same thing for those people down the boardwalk, right? They had, you know, their home destroyed or whatever. The storm comes through, and it's like, man, this is terrible. It's like, I just can't wait for this to be over, though. You know, at some point, it's going to be over. My house is going to be rebuilt. Boardwalk's going to be back. We'll be able to ride those little roller coasters again and get my cotton candy or whatever it is that you get on the boardwalk. It'll all be over at some point. And so one of the things that I was thinking about in terms of these challenges that we face is that adversity helps to provoke us to remember that there's an end that's going to come. Romans chapter 5. Read this for us. You know, when you think about it, if life didn't have any challenges, what might we want to do? Just stay here forever. And I used to think about that when I was a little kid, and I didn't have any challenges. My challenge was, when am I going to be able to put it? That was the biggest challenge. Myself, you know, don't I really want to go to heaven? Like, it's so great here. You know, I can play Super Mario Brothers all day long and cereal. This is pretty great. But you know, as life goes on and you start to face these challenges, you start to face the trials, heaven starts to look a lot better. You start to think about, you know, there is there's a lot of good here, and don't get me wrong. So many good things. Also a lot of stuff that, you know what? There's something much better than this. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having justified by faith, peace with God, whom all also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. It has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Hope of what? Something so much better than we're at right now. Consider Peter again. Back in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I want to read the rest of that passage there. I won't read the entire thing, but read a little bit of it. 1 Peter chapter 1 again. We'll start in verse 6 just to get the context again. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see Him now, but believe in Him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. That's what we're looking for, right? Verse 10, as to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in ignorance, but, like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. You think about that. What is Peter calling us to do? Peter's saying, you know, there's going to be all these difficulties. There's going to be all these trials. And we'll see what your faith looks like. But in the meantime, think about this. There's something so great coming that you're going to be holy just like God. Something so much better than this place could ever be. You know, in Revelation, John writes and uses this language that sounds so fantastic, right? This gold, marble, and like precious stone, which sounds so amazing to us. And yet, that doesn't even express a percent of what the glory of God is really like. There's something that's much better on the horizon. We are destined for something much better than this place. Hebrews chapter 12. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer goes through all these different people and what they did and their example of faith. And in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Where do we put our attention? When trials are coming to us, when these issues are coming to us, and we're feeling the hurt, we're feeling the depression, we're feeling the anxiety, we're feeling all these bad things, what is the Hebrew writer saying to do? Look to Jesus. Look to the goal. And you know what? Trials should help you to do that. Because they'll help you to realize, you know what? These things that we're dealing with right now, they're going to go away. At some point, this will end. You know what? I don't know how it's going to end for you. You may die. Jesus may come back. You may get hit by a bus. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. Right? We don't know. But you know what's guaranteed? This, as we know it, will be over at some point. And we can look to Jesus, and we can know that we have hope, that we have somewhere to be that's a lot better than this place. So what should we do about this? I was thinking about, well, how can we make this something that we think about? I said, you know what? Let's be encouraging. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. You know, it's easy to complain about stuff. It's easy to complain, oh, my life is so hard. Oh, I'm just dealing with this and dealing with that. And you know what? There's a time and place for that. There's a time and place for expressing your frustrations and the hard stuff that you're going through. But you know, when there's people around you that are going through those things, you know what they need? They need somebody to lift them up. They need somebody to help them to see. Was in the psalm, someone who's the lifter of our head. Someone that's going to help us to put our eyes back on Jesus and realize there's something much better out there. Are you going to be that person? Or are you going to be the person that's, you know, well, I don't want to talk to you. Like, he's just going to make me feel bad about everything. Are we going to be an encourager or not? Let's be an encouragement and let's be encouraged by others. And the question there is, what do you do to help others to survive the storm? It's not just about you. It's about everybody else. What can we do to help everybody through the storm that comes by? Because let's be honest, it's there. It's all around us, each and every day. So as we close here, the tempest rages. And these are the three things that it does for us. And it could be good, it could be bad, right? The tempest can be good for us. It can build our faith. It can build our strengthen us. Or it can tear us down. We said it reveals our true character. Look at yourself. Look at how you react. Look at how you think. Look at what you're doing. Is this the character that you should have? Where are your strengths? Where are your weaknesses? It makes us stronger. It helps us to get rid of all that bad stuff and build up with new. Build up strength. It's like Hurricane Sandy took down all those bad holes and we put up new ones that were much better. So, trials and tribulations, difficulties, they give us an opportunity to get stronger so that when the next storm comes, we're a lot better off. We're ready for it. And lastly, it helps us to look to faith. It helps us to remember that, you know what, as bad as it is here, as difficult as it is here, there's something I have so much more waiting for me if I will reach for it, if I will do what my Master has told me to do. So let's encourage others to do that, and let's be encouraged. When others are encouraging, let's be encouraged to long for that end. There's a lot of people that are going through a lot of difficulties. I think we all would say we are. And God gives us a way to move this temporal life and move to something that lasts forever in a place that we can't even imagine. But God tells us what we need to do that. God tells us we only get that salvation through Christ, as we even read even today. So maybe you're here this morning and you're not in Christ, but you know that there's more to life than just this earth. And you want something that's more than just this life. God promises us that through Jesus. Or maybe you're struggling right now with difficulty. Maybe you need some encouragement. Maybe you're one that's going through the storm and you're waiting for somebody to lift you up. We can be there for you, whatever you need. Whatever it is, I urge you to come forward as we stand and as we sing.